Hello and welcome to this episode of the Azure Active Directory and Identity Show. I'm pretty excited by this one. This is something very, very cool that these guys have been working on that we really wanted to be able to share with you. This is Azure Active Directory Identity Protection, and it's a pretty cool new feature that allows for, well, some kind of adaptive risk-based management. I'm joined by Alex Wineup, and we're going to kind of explain to these folks what this technology is. But before we do, just introduce yourself very briefly.
All right. My name is Alex Weinert. I'm the Group Program Manager for the Identity Protection Team in Azure Active Directory. We are the team that's chartered with really very simply protecting our users. We just want to make sure that we never issue a ticket to someone who isn't the right person.
Yep.
Right? We have seen firsthand the kind of sometimes devastating things that can happen when accounts are hacked and, you know, people get access to your private information or your company's private information or bank accounts or, you know, even in some cases life-threatening situations that can evolve from that. So we take that charter very seriously.
And it's pretty fair to say that Microsoft is in a massively unique position in the industry, given things like the amount of people that are actually using our identity infrastructure for everything that they do on a daily basis, things like their email, their Xbox Live, all that kind of stuff.
That's right. We have a, you know, sort of an advantage of having a very large consumer base, and it's used for a lot of diverse things like OneDrive. And, you know, you think about, you know, one of the things that you can compare to is maybe like a financial institution. If you get somebody into your bank and you lose money, the bank can make you whole. They can just put money back. If you order something online and you don't like what you got or somebody else ordered on your behalf, they can simply refund your money or send you a new item. Mm-hmm. But if you lose your baby pictures, you know, that's bad news.
They're irreplaceable.
And similarly, if you've lost corporate data, you know, that's a sort of non-replaceable asset, right? That kind of a leak is something that you have to take really seriously. So the diversity of assets that people have hidden behind their digital identities is really vast and very, very important to them.
And I guess all of that information that we're seeing from that consumer side is actually part of the, I guess maybe the signal intelligence that helps us to do a great job of protecting corporate identities.
Right. That's in fact, that's really what we're very excited to be able to, you know, put into preview now, is the identity protection assets that we've built over many years on the consumer side. And the thing that we've really learned there is that, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Right? Yeah.
An analogy that, you know, I've been using recently is it's a lot better to put on sunscreen than it is to treat skin cancer, right? Mm-hmm. So we'd like to keep those accounts safe, but we'd like to keep them protected. And the way that we do that is we take that signals intelligence, and then we automatically protect users in the consumer side now by, you know, if we detect that, say, a bad guy has put their credentials up for sale on the black market and we can find that out, then we can actually have that user change their password before the fraudsters or the cyber criminals ever have a chance to use it. Yeah. And so that's a very good form of protection. Similarly, if we see someone is trying to log in, you know, with your account, we're standing here in Redmond, but if someone is trying to log in from your account right now and say, you know, we'll make up a country, you know, then we can say, well, that's very suspicious, and we'd like to at least challenge them with a second factor, something like, you know, an authenticator app on your phone, or getting a phone call, or, you know, exchanging a code via an email. And so those are the sort of things that we've used to drive down fraud, you know, very, very significantly on the consumer side. We want to do the same thing on the enterprise side. Right? So one of the things that's kind of neat about being us is that we have a great big target pinned on our backs.
Yeah. Right?
So the consumer side, especially running a free email service, you know, the Outlook.com stuff, it's a very appealing that if you successfully, you know, using malware or a phishing campaign or some sort of a breach of another site, successfully extract credentials, you're going to see if they work at the big mail providers, right?
Yeah, you're going to maybe take your Outlook credentials and then try them against an Office 365 login.
Right, or you know, you take your, you know, your, because most of the major providers allow kind of an arbitrary string. And so here's where enterprises can really get in trouble, is that if we imagine a world where, you know, you're working at a small company and we've issued, you know, your username and password pair to some person and they're well-intentioned and they go to a third-party site, you know, that could be anything from event planning to, you know, ordering stuff for the company, and they need an account on that site. So what do? Well, they'll take their enterprise username, and then they don't want to think up a new password, so they use that enterprise password, and they use it at that third-party site. The danger is now you get a breach of that site, and now those credentials are in the wild, right? The credentials come out of these breaches in large batches, and there's a chance that, you know, your Xbox account doesn't have to be an Outlook account, mm-hmm. right? So there's a chance that there'll be a hit. And so they'll try them against us, and we get to see these very large batches of accounts attempted against us. And when we pick those up, we're actually able to detect the attacks in most cases, and then play those back and say, all right, would that actually represent a breach of your credentials? And we can protect you with that. So we have a leaked, one of the things that we have is a leaked credentials report that actually tells you if we or one of our partners has identified that the credentials have leaked into the wild. And we have a variety of ways of learning about that. But the most important thing about it is that in the vast majority of cases, we learn about it before those credentials were actually successfully used by the fraudster.
Yeah, and that's a pretty incredible thing to be able to actually apply the learning from, well, Microsoft, essentially, across your own enterprise. It's
right.
pretty incredible and unique inside of the industry. In terms of kind of how many folks are actually using our consumer and our corporate identities on a daily basis, it's pretty incredible. 400 million people logging in or being authenticated by our systems every single day. We're also seeing, as you see on this slide, about 13 billion successful daily logons. So pretty right. incredible numbers to be dealing right. with.
We see greater than 13 billion login events a day. Mm-hmm. And we're somewhere north of 400 million unique active users per day. And so again, it's a great deal of volume. And it does two things. One is it sort of attracts, we have a joke that we have the target on our backs.
Yeah.
So it attracts the sort of the bad guys to us, right? And they want to, again, test against our consumer system and see which accounts are going to work. But that allows us to, in some cases, see the credentials and protect the user before anything bad can happen by using those detection systems. But we do see a great number of logins, and then we also see patterns. So, every single day, 10,000 different IP addresses will light up around the world mm-hmm. and attack us at scale. And then, of course, many with botnets being as effective and cheap as they are, many attacks, that aren't at high volume, where it's not a single IP, it's a batch of IPs, and we're able to detect that as well. The Digital Crimes Unit at Microsoft does a great job of tracking botnets and doing takedowns and giving us signal feed that we can use to actually determine when we're talking to a machine that is under that control, right? So we can use that as part of our intelligence. The Microsoft Security Response Center runs a bounty program as well as running other kinds of outreach to go and get signal from researchers or law enforcement that we can, again, run into and process. And every day, we score all of those logins. Every one of those logins gets scored and evaluated as at a risk level to decide whether that represents too much risk for the user. On the consumer side, we have this ability to say, look, we're just going to act on your behalf,
yeah.
right? Because we are essentially the administrator for those accounts. We mm-hmm. get to set the policy. On the enterprise side, we need to engage, the identity administrator to set
Absolutely.
Those policies.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're doing with the identity protection in Azure Active Directory.
Awesome. So let's spend a few minutes and actually dive into the tooling and actually take a look at Azure AD Identity Protection.
Fantastic. Give me just one moment to flip screens here. Okay, so this is the, if you were to go to the marketplace mm-hmm. in Azure Active Directory
yeah.
and go to the marketplace and just type in identity protection, you would find the install point for this.
Awesome. Right? Okay.
And this is sort of the first launch experience. The preview is going to be available, or the preview is available to anyone who is an Azure Active Directory Premium customer. So you can experience these features and try it out. And of course, a lot of what we're looking for in the preview is to get the feedback and really see how it's working for you. And we're excited to hear that feedback.
Yeah.
Definitely encourage people to kick the tires and let us know what they think. What we're seeing here is really three main protection vectors that we're concerned about kind of to start with.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest ones that we've talked about already is the risk of somebody having the credentials that get you into the account.
Yeah.
If we look at the way enterprise attacks work, it doesn't really matter which credential got them in the door, right?
Yeah.
Once they're in the door, there are ways to do,
you
can do network traversal, you can do lateral attacks, you can do, credential accrual, and you can actually see these, things like pass the hash that'll kind of lever them up until they're in, network administrator role.
Yeah.
And that's obviously a very, very bad place to end up. So we want to, again, stop it before it happens. And so something I'm not showing in this demonstration, but that will happen, is that a notification is sent. If we ever detect a compromised user, we're broadcasting that out to the administrators.
Yeah.
And the link would essentially take you here.
Right. Cool.
In addition to that, there's a daily or a weekly digest that comes out that also lets you know the overall state of the environment. So between those two things, we're letting people have a pretty good insight into what's going on and kind of remind you to come and check a little more deeply. So here, you know, we can see this particular environment. We have five users who are at medium risk of compromise. And we can kind of see the overall state. Some of these users have already been handled by another administrator or, you know, by you previously, right? And so the first thing we're going to worry about is these users are at risk of compromise. The way that people attack and the way that the algorithms work is fairly dynamic, right? Day to day, the cyber criminals are shifting their modus operandi, and we're shifting right alongside them. You know, in most cases, our machine learning systems are self-adapting, right? So we're keeping up on that angle. But we're also, again, working with industry partners, working with Digital Crimes Unit and MSRC and other folks to make sure that we're staying on top of, you know, essentially what aren't we seeing, right?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest challenges for folks that are maybe dealing with their environment today, and they don't have the capabilities of Azure AD on top of the environment. They can't adapt that quickly to what is being changed by the attackers on a daily basis.
That's right. I mean, and it's another, you know, in some sense, almost unfair advantage for the AAD users, right? Mm-hmm. Which is that because we do have such a large surface and we do have such a presence in both the consumer and the enterprise side, we have a great network of industry collaborators, right? We have, this is a place where, you know, in many areas we choose to compete.
Yep.
And we can compete on UX and we compete on, you know, various features. But with security, we've learned that across the industry, we need to stand shoulder to shoulder to protect our users, because we want to make sure that the digital environment is a safe one to do business in. And so we work very closely with collaborators, both internally and externally, to make sure that we get as much signal as we can. And it's a place where we're willing to, you know, to both share data and learn.
Good.
So here we've drilled in on these users at risk, and we can see, you know, again, there's these five users, and we can kind of, you know, look at what's happening. You know, this particular user, Jose, had six sign-ins from obfuscated IP addresses. So this is like a Tor network. Mm-hmm. Typically, you know, the occasional person, maybe like me, will use these, you know, just habitually, but generally the Tor networks are used to obscure, you know, traffic, and there's to hide the location of an attack. And so that's at least something worth investigating. But in addition, this user's also had, you know, some location jumping outside of Tor, right? Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you know, we can see that they had a traveling situation where they went very quickly, in this case, from, you know, Montreal to Singapore. And they did that in, you know, in moments, right? So it's unlikely that was a legitimate piece of traffic. All of that signal is combined together. We have a machine learning system as well that does this scoring, and it creates an aggregated user risk score. We're looking at lots of inputs about that user, both things like, did we find credentials online, which is a very strong signal, down to sort of weaker signals like, well, they had some anomalous locations. But the combination of these can create a risk score that we calculate for you, and then you can set your risk tolerance. You know, sort of medium is what we think is normal for most people. And if you're a little more risk tolerant, you might say, okay, I can take high risk. Mm-hmm. And it allows you to tune how many challenges you're going to issue to your users, how many blocked users do you deal with in your environment, and also just tune for your tolerance for risk.
Mm-hmm.
But we're constantly adding and adapting these algorithms. We're staying right on top of it, so that's not something that, you know, the end user has to worry about. But we do want to give the insight in case they need to do an investigation.
Yeah, because there might be that need for that little extra drill down of more information in order to be able to say, yes, this is great. Maybe this needs to adjust our risk tolerance a little bit more. Maybe we are seeing that lots of people are signing on from the Tor network because we deployed Tor browser to everybody.
Right.
That could be something that is a, I guess, a genuine use case.
Right, yeah. Right. And we can, you know, we can go and do these individual investigations, or we can remediate individual users, you know, should we choose to. We can go through and do things, you know, mark this as a false positive, which allows you to train us to understand that there's places for your environment where that wasn't a good algorithm. But you can also do things like, you know, go ahead and do a user password change right there in the moment, if that's what you want to do. But the investigation, again, of what happened is not as good as stopping it from happening, right?
Absolutely.
So the main thing we want to get people to do is to apply these policies. So conditional access is our overall framework for ensuring compliance and security for logins across the Azure Active Directory platform, right? We can do things like say, you know, you need an MDM-managed machine or a MAM-managed app. You can do things like, you know, decide that particular applications need a higher level of security. And this plugs directly into that framework. So we're just taking the conditional access framework and we're extending it by allowing you to look at risk evaluation to make decisions based on risk.
Fantastic.
So in this case, for user risk, we're driving you directly into a policy where, you know, well, let's go ahead and add some users so we can see what's going to happen here. So what we're doing is we're adding some policy where we can say, look, we want to think about the risk of compromise to a user. We think that user's password or credentials might have been in the hands of a cyber criminal, right? Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is say, let's require a secure password change. Let's make that user change their password if we think that's happening. And you know, maybe for our risk tolerance, it's at medium or higher, mm-hmm. right? So now anytime we see a user where we think there's a reasonable yeah. chance that their password is compromised, let's go ahead and put them through a process where they're going to go through a multi-factor authentication challenge, mm-hmm. right? Using Azure AD MFA. They can just round trip a code to their phone or use an app, whatever is the most convenient for them. And then once we've really confirmed their identity with that second factor, we can say, okay, let's go ahead and change your password, right? So we can do that in a nice secure environment.
Nice.
Multi-factor auth is the thing that allows you to be wrong in, mm-hmm. in these signals, right? Yeah. It's the thing that allows us to make challenges in a world where we know we can get people through if we're wrong, right? Yeah, it's very, very important.
Extra permission right. with your user
right.
base.
You can theoretically get to a zero false positive state, right? Mm-hmm. But that means you're tolerating a huge number of false negatives, yep. right? You're letting a lot of bad guys through to prevent that one challenge. So it's far better to have people registered for multi-factor auth, ready to receive that challenge, right? So we have a system that allows us to register and verify those numbers. And here, we can see that we're actually throwing up a little warning, just like,
yeah, that's
hey,
pretty awesome.
You have some guys that aren't ready. So let's go ahead and turn that on mm-hmm. as well. We can just say, let's go ahead and have a rule here for multi-factor auth, and we can give them a little sleep time so they have some time, and if they don't have their phone with them that day, we can sort of fix those things up. And again, this is just another face on things that we already had, right? Mm-hmm. The multi-factor auth system in Azure has been around, and it's a successful product. It's just a matter of making it a little bit easier to use in this context. So we have these, we have this policy now set up. One of the things that we do is, because we understand that, kind of the friction of security is a concern for our identity administrators, is that we want to give you a way to see the impact that's going to happen in your environment, yep. right? So here, this donut is just showing you that, based on the last month activity, based on what happened last month, here's what would happen next month, right, with this particular policy. And so you can kind of dial that policy for, again, for your risk tolerance and for your support tolerance. Mm-hmm. We also have the ability to kind of go to a second tier, so, if they're multi-factor auth at medium, maybe at high, we actually say, let's lock the account.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and shut it down so they can investigate.
So that could be something along the lines of, we've seen that person log in from multiple locations, so we're going to set them onto their setup at medium. So as a result, we might multi-factor authenticate them, or require that they multi-factor authenticate. But we've actually found their details on a leaked password list, so in this case, we're just going to block their
right.
access.
Or we have a stronger indication that maybe something happened in the network, and so we go ahead and lock them so you can investigate. And again, this is a policy thing. Some people prefer to lock the account down mm-hmm. and to freeze it until they can do a forensics. Some people prefer to just be alerted and watch, which we do automatically. We'll always alert. Yeah. And some people prefer to go ahead and just let that user get back to work, but do it in a safe way. So we give you those kind of those dials and knobs to control it with.
What I love about this is it actually means that you go from insight to action immediately. There's no step in between where you have to go through a big pile of audit logs to actually be able to do the forensics before you can take action.
Right.
Azure AD is just going to do it for you.
Right, and hopefully, frankly, there's a lot less forensics to do. Mm-hmm. If we're able to change that password before the cyber criminal can use it, that's beats the tar out of trying to fix the damage that was done.
Yeah, it could actually ease the burden on your security officers as well as on your IT admins.
Right. That's our hope, right? That we can, through our automatic response, we reduce the number of actual bad events that are happening, mm-hmm. right? And reduce the harm that is done and overall reduce costs.
That's right? Amazing.
So the second major piece of what we're doing is, we have that sort of worst case of a compromised user, but we also mm-hmm. have the sort of the leading indicators of these risky events that are coming up.
Yeah.
So we're showing suspicious activities, the kind of the trend line that's going across. Gray here means these are things that have been remediated, mm-hmm. right, or closed, and we have a few that are, still out there. As we drill in, it's just another view. If you want to drill into exactly, kind of who are the people that are getting sign-ins from, anonymous anonymizers, right, mm-hmm. from like Tor networks.
Yeah.
We can go through and see that instance again. Here, again, the goal is to drive you to policy, right? So what we want to do is, again, make it so that you don't have to worry about that compromised user because mm-hmm. you didn't see the bad action happening, right? So we want to stop the suspicious logins with an MFA challenge. That allows us to know, again, that was an okay user and we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
So just like the other configuration for conditional access, this is, again, conditional access for risk, but now instead of on user risk, it's just on the event risk, on the actual login.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're able to do here is say, look, even if the risk is a little bit low for this user, let's go ahead and challenge, right? We expect to have our users ready for multi-factor auth. But if the risk gets too high, just block the login outright, You know, if it's really, really fishy login, let's just stop it. And then we do that in, you know, sort of fun ways that, you know, we think that the cyber criminal is using a bad password, a good password, but they don't know that, right? Yeah. And so we can do things like, you know, make it appear to them like they're using a bad password and that sort of thing. So we try to keep it, you know, a little bit questionable as far as the outcome. Why is the criminal seeing the outcome they're seeing, and try to obfuscate that as much as we can. While still, you know, allowing for the possibility that, you know, maybe you're doing some security research and you really are on a Tor network today. Mm-hmm. And in that case, the multi-factor auth is the way that you get through. That's your passkey.
Yeah, very cool.
So that's the second major piece of what we do in terms of policy. And it works in very much the same way. You know, we can play with the settings and we see that the impact analysis changes here and allows us to see what would happen in our environment based on the last month's history.
And I think that there's another place that this is probably incredibly useful, which is not only is this great from the user side where you can actually monitor what your users are doing, what's happening against your organization as a whole, but you've got some folks inside of the organization that actually do things that, well, most people wouldn't do. So they're the admins that have more access. This actually helps you to kind of manage risk around privileged identity management as well.
Right. Again, our goal here is to protect users. And part of that is, you know, detecting these bad things that are happening or intercepting these questionable logins. But a very significant part of it is really just improving the security posture for your identity deployment, right? Yeah. Helping you get those policies right. And so the third major part of what we're doing here, kind of get back to our main screen, is we're just showing you the vulnerabilities or the configuration issues that are existing in your environment, mm-hmm. right? And so as we go through, we can see here we have unmanaged applications and users that aren't configured for multi-factor auth. Those are kind of examples of places where, you know, hey, there's traffic going on in your network and, you know, it's an application you don't know about. They're getting used in your environment, but that are not under management. So they're not doing single sign-on. You don't have the ability to do things like think about, do you want multi-factor auth on that sign-in, or do you want to have a strong password? These are all things Azure Active Directory can manage for you, right? Mm-hmm. You can get a very secure SaaS experience by bringing everything under management. But of course, you know, there are sort of viral applications and departments spin up, you know, their own little efforts, and mm-hmm. being able to bring that back in is helpful. So we have something called Cloud App Discovery that allows you to go out and get some insights in what's happening in your environment. And here's just a place where we're using those insights to kind of help you, you know, get to a secure state. And with any of these, we could go through and we could say, all right, let's go ahead and bring, you know, the application into the single sign-on experience and, you know, do apply the conditional access policies and other things you want to do. Mm-hmm. We've talked about, you know, multi-factor authentication. It is a really important preparatory step. We strongly, strongly encourage people to be ready for multi-factor authentication, mm-hmm. Really so that we can apply these protections. And then there's things like, you know, if you have, for example, administrators that you're just, they're not, you know, here's a place where we have role activation, you know, where your administrator is not required to do MFA, right? So right. they could actually activate a highly privileged role with just a password. And we've already talked about the fact that passwords, yeah. unfortunately, are relatively easy to get, mm-hmm. right, between phishing, malware, and breaches.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, multi-factor auth is our kind of our solution for a lot of this stuff. And we want to make sure those people are brought in. We bring this right in front of you, you know, for the actual role, you can go ahead and configure it here. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, for these recommendations and for others, really all we're doing is we're trying to drive you right into the other security features that are already in Azure Active Directory. We're just making it easy to get into privileged identity management or Cloud App Discovery or, you know, in this case, the role management stuff.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. The group of features that have been brought together with identity protection is actually pretty fantastic. I don't think I've ever seen anything that's kind of this dynamic before and yet already ready to go and implemented with what you've got deployed inside of Azure AD. So anybody that's using Office 365 and has Azure AD Premium can start to take advantage of these in trial to start to kick the tires and learn exactly what's going on
right
from today. So that's pretty amazing. Alex, thanks very much for coming along and explaining all this to us.
Yeah, thanks for giving us the opportunity.
It's a pretty amazing set of features. If you actually aren't one of those folks that has an Azure AD tenant set up at the moment, then you can go and start to try and do that by getting hold of an Azure Active Directory Premium trial, and you can go ahead, kick the tires, check out identity protection. But also, if you're an Office 365 customer, or if you're using Passport for Windows 10, you've probably already got access to many of these features inside of your Azure AD, and you just need to go and make sure you're using Azure AD Premium so you can try identity protection. Thanks very much for watching this episode of the Azure AD and Identity Show. Thank you.